We have entered the joyful season of Christmas. This is the Christmas octave. So yesterday, of course, the first day, Christmas Day. This is technically the second day of the Christmas octave, but it's also the feast day of St. Stephen, the first martyr. Now, I know probably everybody here in this chapel who is familiar with the flow of the liturgy knows that St. Stephen is the feast day that comes right after Christmas. But even though we know that, it's always a little bit jarring to move from the joyful celebration of a birth to the stoning of a man by a violent mob. I mean, they just don't go together. And we have to feel that contradiction or sudden shift of gears. It's almost as if not just shifting gears, it's like shifting from forward to reverse. A lot of grinding of the gears in the mind to go from tender little baby, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes, to a man being stoned to death by a mob outside Jerusalem. So, but that's where we are. And that initial reaction is a good one because it's important for us to adjust ourselves to the reality of the Christian message. But after that initial reaction, we can start to see how the church approaches this, and it's very deliberate. The church is almost playing with this, like this is part of the game, as if to say there's the full picture of what Jesus has come to do is he has come to conquer death so that we're not intimidated by persecution and death. And in today's gospel is Jesus saying, this is going to happen, you're going to be persecuted, but don't worry about it because God is with you and the Holy Spirit will be with you to speak through you. Yes, yes, your own loved ones, your own family members and neighbors are going to rise up and put you to death, but just persevere. it's this seeming contradiction, which is at the very heart of the Christian message. So this is a joyful time of year, and this is a joyful feast day, but the joy is not in spite of the persecution or in contradiction to the persecution. It's a joy that pervades the persecution, as if the church is saying, even persecution doesn't dampen this joy that we have of our salvation. And if you think about it, the Christmas story itself has this implication that Jesus, this little child born for us, God with us, he's not accepted, he's not welcomed. From the beginning, there's already this evidence of a tension between the new thing Jesus is doing and the old established order that's going to oppose him. So he's not welcomed when he is born in Jerusalem. Before long, the King Herod hears about a new king, and we know that he's going to try to kill the newborn king and slaughters the innocents. In fact, this kind of playing with this seeming contradiction will be clear again on Saturday when we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents. How can we celebrate these things? Well, because God's victory is at hand and he's revealing it in all these situations. So we honor Stephen as the first martyr, but we also honor those innocents as first martyrs because they were killed long before Stephen was. But Jesus says, this is how it's going to be. So it's almost as if he's saying, deal with it, accept it. That don't be intimidated by suffering, death, persecution, pain. Don't be intimidated. I was at a wake yesterday. It was Christmas Day. One of our ponderers, she died on Saturday, and she's being buried today, Rita. So it's a very striking thing to go to a wake on Christmas Day, because you go into the room, there's a body there, and the family is there, and the first thing they say is Merry Christmas. It just doesn't seem to go. And of course, you want to say Merry Christmas because it's Christmas Day, but on the other hand, you want to say, condolence, I'm sorry for your loss. Your mother died, and so you do both of those things, and in that setting, reflecting on the birth of Jesus and the death of the mother of this family, you say, well, this is the message. Jesus was not born just to be born. He was born to take on this very problem and to conquer it. So this is it. Now, we turn to St. Stephen. He's an extraordinary figure. I mean, he takes up a couple of chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. If you want to read the whole story, he gives a very long sermon. But he's not one of the 12. We don't even know if he was one of the followers of Jesus. We don't really know anything about him before he shows up in the midst of a conflict between the Greek-speaking Jews and their widows and the Hebrew-speaking Christians and their widows. Remember that conflict? There was dispute over who gets the food. And so the apostle said, well, we'll just appoint some people to handle this. And Stephen was one of them. So Stephen, he has a Greek name for one thing. Stephanos means crown. He has a Greek name, and he's assigned to deal with the Greek-speaking Christians that they call the Hellenists. So he seems to be a Hellenist. He's not. This is a striking thing, because you would think the first to be killed in the name of Jesus would be one of the apostles, but it's not. It's this Hellenist. He, after he's chosen, he stands out as a great man of faith. Speaks clearly and boldly. He does works, signs, and wonders. And he's constantly proclaiming the newness, but he's doing it right in the face of the oldness, which is bound to oppose him. And in his, if you read those chapters in Acts, when he gives that long, he kind of gives a history of the Jews. And he speaks about how God chose the Jews and how he raised them up, and he raised up great leaders and did these great things. But at the same time, the Jews were constantly opposing what God was doing. The Jews were always being unfaithful. They were not ready to move with the grace that was available. And he says, this is our history. And you're doing it again. And that's why they got so mad at him, because he said, the same mistake that you've been making for generations, or we Jews have been making for generations, you're doing it again, because now God has done something new and you're rejecting this Jesus. And so they just can't tolerate such a thing. And they end up running at him with their hands over their ears. They won't let the blasphemies enter their ears, and then they drag him out and stone him. But as he's being stoned, Stephen rises to an even greater holiness, because he peacefully commends himself into the hands of God. This is the psalm, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit," which is also what Jesus said from the cross. And he also prays for the very ones who are persecuting him. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Again, echoing what Jesus said from the cross, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And so Stephen becomes like another Christ. It's like he becomes an icon of Jesus Christ on the cross, which is where the very victory takes place, right? It's not the defeat of Jesus Christ, it's his victory. And that's what Stephen is. He's showing us again the victory of Jesus on the cross. But there's more, because the story of Stephen is also intimately connected to the story of Saul, who becomes Paul. So the first martyr becomes the example of how sacrifice bears fruit, of how the seed of, or the blood of the martyrs becomes the seed of Christians. And Paul also runs into contradiction, or conflict, with the Jewish authorities. Paul was a Pharisee. He speaks to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees want to kill him. And Paul after running into this opposition, he says, well, if you don't want the message, I'll go to the Gentiles. And we know the great fruitfulness of Paul's ministry was with the Gentiles. He went all over the Gentile world. He went all the way to Rome. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul is the fruit of Stephen's sacrifice in the mystery of how God works. So it is something to rejoice. Yes, it's a terrible, every martyrdom is a terrible injustice, crime. But the injustice, the crime, the death is so powerfully overcome by grace that we don't really think of it that way. We celebrate the martyrdom of St. Stephen. We celebrate. It's a feast day. It's a Christmas day. Sing the Gloria. You know, we continue the joy of Christmas. So these contradictions are in our everyday life, and they're in the story of the church as a whole. I was reflecting a little bit on this holding together the joy and the conflict, or the pros and the cons. And I remember this little incident that happened right here on the Christmas Eve. I don't know if this tradition is followed in many families, but what we try to do here is whenever on Christmas Eve, we take out the little statue of the baby Jesus and put him in the manger, and we usually entrust that task to the smallest or the youngest child who happens to be around. And there were a bunch of children here on Christmas Eve. So the youngest child was, I don't think she's even 3 years old. I don't know, 2 years old. She's 2 years old. So the mother, you know, like, this is Jesus. Now put Jesus in his bed. Put Jesus in the manger. Now, the child takes the little girl takes the child Jesus and runs away with him. Like a kidnapping. Because she thought it was for her. She thought a little doll or a present or her Christmas present. I don't know what she was thinking, but she ran away. And so I said, oh, this is the contradiction, right? Just because you have this great idea of, you know, a tender scene of a little child in honoring the child Jesus, it doesn't always work that way. Even from, of course, she's an innocent little child. But that's, you know, that's it. There's contradiction in every moment, in every day. There's always something that doesn't go the way we would expect. And yet, God is not defeated by that. Well, now that little girl, her mother had to take that. Forcefully take the child away, put it in the manger. The child was, that little girl was crying. That's it. You know, we don't get our way. Things don't go the way we expect. And yet, Jesus does come. And he does come and lie in the manger as an offering for us. And whether we're laughing or crying, it doesn't change the great victory. It doesn't change the great story of Jesus' victory. So, Stephen would not want us to lose the joy of Christmas. He would rather say, no, deepen the joy of your Christmas so that the hardships and sufferings that you face will not overcome you. Look at me, Stephen would say, look at me and see how I rejoiced to give myself to God. How I looked up into the heavens and saw the glory of God. I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And, you know, you think you're happy to see Jesus lying in the manger? I saw Jesus in glory. And then I was taken into glory myself. So that's the way to reflect on this feast day. And to celebrate, yes, martyrdom. Victory over suffering, pain, persecution, injustice, death. Victory. And that's what we celebrate. It's a victory that starts with Jesus' birth, is most clearly revealed in his death and resurrection, and continues in the church to this day. Amen.